Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. This is Dr. John. We've got another big show for everybody tonight. We've got Greg Bo Watson, the artist, his son Brett Watson, professional wrestler. We've got John Strickland with American Hook. And, of course, the usuals, Papa Stro Maestro and Dave Atwell. So we're going to have a big show tonight. First of all, I want to say and give everybody an update, one of our friends in wrestling, Nightmare, the manager for Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, his son Noah Lawrence is in stable condition tonight at University of Virginia Hospital. He's going to be hopefully having heart surgery in about 6 days, and we hope everything goes well for Noah Lawrence. His dad is, of course, Jimmy's one of Jimmy's managers. His mother is a trained wrestler from Boogie's wrestling school, and Noah has been trained as a wrestler and at 16 years old. And Brett, you know about being a young man in wrestling. He's been wrestling, but now he's fighting some things. He had pneumonia, and now he's going to have some heart surgery. So we will send out our prayers to him and hope everything goes well with Noah Lawrence as he's up there in Charlottesville, Virginia. So anyway,
God bless
him. Have everybody here. And so, Papa Stro, what have you been up to recently? We'll check what everybody's been doing, and then we're going to head on into our night. Papa Stro, what you been up to recently?
It's been busy as usual between wrestling, acting, TV and film, and everything. I got a Blu-ray DVD that's out now with Bill Goldberg, William Forsythe, and Kenny Johnson with Fred Williamson called Checkpoints. And it's out on Walmart's, Amazon, Redbox, Netflix, Google Play. Check it out. It's an action military film. And if you like action movies, that's the one to watch for sure. I just had a show down in Wilmington, North Carolina for UPWA Pro Wrestling. Always a great time down there with the Wilmington fans. And I'll be back in Jersey this coming Saturday with East Hanover, New Jersey, for UPW Pro Wrestling out that way in New Jersey. Great to be back in New Jersey area. I know Dorothy's missed New Jersey, so it'll be great to bring her back and maybe get some of that New Jersey pizza on the side. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, that sounds good. Now, I'll remind everybody that through the snow, the sleet, the rain, and everything else this past Sunday, Greg Bo, you, Papa Stro, and I, we were all at the Charlotte Comic-Con. It was a great event, wasn't it, Greg Bo?
Oh, man, it was great. It was busy. All the people that were there, it was wild.
Yeah, it was great. We had a good time, and I think everybody, a lot of people had fun, got to meet Papa Stro, and it was great seeing you, and Brett was there. So, yeah, we had just about the whole crowd there, everybody but Dave. And, Dave, I know that you're working, polishing off everything for re-releases on your books, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'd be out there partying with you guys, but I'm a working stiff. Got to work on the weekends, keep the lights on. So those are the breaks, right? You know, there's this big romantic notion that all authors are living in the high end. Well, every author I know lives below the poverty line, so I got a little tired of potted meat living by candlelight. So, no, all jokes aside, I had a very exciting weekend when it comes down to the book series. I got some news that, the book series was actually read in a classroom, which is flattering but yet frightening in the same aspect because, you know, I don't write children's tales. Nevertheless, it's very flattering to see that these little ideas that roll around in my head are being shared with, you know, other individuals and everything. And, you know, at, high school level, who knows, they might be fans for life if I can keep turning them out. And secondly, the Hunger series is now a library book.
Really?
Yeah. So, bigger than anything, I'm sure a lot of my teachers are probably rolling their graves right now going, there's no way this guy is in the Dewey Decimal System, but here I am, folks, you know. So it's been a very exciting weekend for the books and everything, and while you guys were out throwing down at the Charlotte Comic-Con, I was slinging hash and celebrating the fact that the books are moving a little further out. So good weekend.
Amen.
I want to also make a shout out, if I could, to I want to make a shout out, if I could, to Rick Fortenberry, and Embassy Suites up there in the Charlotte Concord area for having us, and all the great talent that was there. Matt Bullock, buddy of mine, with The Walking Dead. It was great seeing him. All the cast of characters. The usual Boba Fett, Catwoman, even though she didn't want to hold Dorothy for some odd reason, she's scared and terrified of her. But
that's
other than that,
many
thanks to everybody at Charlotte Comic Con. What a blast.
Yeah, it certainly was. And thanks for mentioning Rick and, of course, his partner, Dave Henson. They did a great job. Now, the first person I want to talk to is Brett the Crippler Watson. Now, I know you're the Crippler, but I think this past Saturday night at the APW Wrestling in Spartanburg, you were the Bone Crusher. Why don't you tell us about your match this Saturday night?
It was interesting, to say the least. Got in there, started off with a guy that I've been wrestling for a couple weeks now, and he, over the past couple weeks, started causing a bit of trouble here and there with a couple other wrestlers. Gets in there, gets a little cute with me, and kicks me in the face, goes for a pin. I kick out, grab him in an armbar, and next thing I heard was him yelling out, "He broke my arm! He broke my arm!" So,
snapped it.
Yeah.
Snap, crackle, pop. Right?
As we say in the business, that's a receipt, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I guess let's say you had your first arm break, so congratulations in whatever way is. And I wanted to make sure everybody knew about that. And John Strickland, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're great. I hear that you were just down in Clemson doing some training. Why don't you fill us in?
Well, actually, I'm still driving back from the gym. I'd gotten a little bit, you always get a couple of questions and you're trying to hurry to get out of there. And I finally just had to kind of walk away, but, typical night coaching guys, really about it. Had this going. And then of course I'm trying to, the NCAAs are this weekend. Anybody cares about collegiate wrestling? So I was rushing out of there to get up with you guys and get home eventually and watch some amateur stuff.
Nice. Awesome.
Sounds like a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We had a great conversation last week, and I had a number of people ask that we bring the crew back. I thought it was we had a good time. And so I'm glad that everybody could join us. So where were we when we left off? Does anybody remember?
Yeah,
all
I
remember
is
we were cutting up about old wrestling interviews and everything. So, which for me was the best part of it, going back and thinking about all the old stuff we used to see were, with Dusty and speaking of that, if I can make a quick point, going back to our long lost friend, Ivan Koloff, I've been doing a little, leave it to me to do some research on something, but I've been looking at the WWF Hall of Fame, the inductees and everything, and by all means, I'm not going to take anything away from any of these folks right here that I mentioned that are in the hall. But quickly, let's see here. Zbyszko, Rikishi, Razor Ramon, Paul Bearer. Let's see here. Yokozuna, Ron Simmons, Edge, Abdul the Butcher, Sonny, Bullet Bob Armstrong, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, What do all these guys have in common? None of them were ever a world champion. And if you go and you look down the list, a lot of these guys in here, compared to Ivan, don't stack up. So,
yeah.
Again, I know Ivan Koloff wasn't real steeped into the Vince McMahon Jr.'s operation. He was more on the side when it was the WWF with Vince Sr. But nevertheless, I mean, if you look at his accomplishments on paper by the numbers, it's just a darn shame that he's not in there. And unfortunately, you know, if they put him in there now, it'll almost seem kind of disingenuous because it's done posthumously. And, you know, if you watch baseball, you know, Ron Santo for years, excellent ball player for the Cubs and the White Sox, just couldn't get enough votes because he played for the Cubs and the White Sox for years to get in. And he passed away. 3 months later, he gets, you know, 90% of the vote, and all of a sudden he's in the Hall. But again, I just, you know, if there's anybody out there listening, anybody wants to stir the pot and maybe get somebody's attention, Ivan needs to be in the Hall. And just one of those things, you know what I mean?
No, I completely get it. I, you know, you kind of blew me over there because I didn't realize Abby was in the Hall.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys in here that you wouldn't Cowboy Bill Watts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm talking guys who are never, you know, we know who they are, but they were never guys that really knocked it over when it comes out of Tony Atlas.
Not at
all. I mean, I remember. No, absolutely not. And that's my point. You know, Eddie Guerrero. Nikolai Volkoff's in there, but yet we don't have Ivan Koloff in there. You know, and it's just, I don't know. I guess it kind of gets you in the ribs when you know what a great guy he was, but nevertheless.
Well, that and not taking anything – and that and not taking away from Nikolai Volkoff or anything, but, you know, during the 80s, I mean, when you thought of the Russians, it was Ivan and Nikita all the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
No offense to Billie Jean King, but, I mean, she's not even Hall of Fame. And they gave her a promo package the other night, and I'm thinking, why couldn't they done that for Ivan?
I mean, you're 100% right. That's ridiculous.
So,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they put Mr. T in there and that kind of stuff, and again, it just, I don't know, it just seems to take the genuine feel away from it, and it almost kind of turns the Hall of Fame into the kind of the circus like the WWF was versus, you know, how NWA and the WCW was. So, at any rate, my rant is over, my preaching's over, but if there's anybody out there listening, let's get on the stick.
Have you guys ever seen the Terry Funk rendition of the old Dr. Pepper commercial? Uncle Terry, he starts it off. Seriously, it's like the old Dr. Pepper commercial. He goes, I'm a funker, he's a funker, she's a funker. What would you like to be a funker too?
Funker too. Yep, I've seen it. Yep.
I've seen it. That is so great. I had not thought about that in years, bro. Man.
That's awesome.
That's what Rob
There was a promo that Dusty Rhodes did, and he was doing it. It was in Florida Wrestling, and that was when, gosh, what was it? It was Dusty and Mike Graham had the big fight with the Funks. And he came out there and he had stitches in his forehead, and Gordon Solie is holding the mic and or holding the microphone and up to him. And Dusty says, I don't care who it is, that Funk family. I don't care less which one come up. Doyle Funk, Terry Funk, Mother Funk.
I remember one time those guys in the cage match. No joke, it was Dusty and Terry, right? And Dusty's in the corner, and Terry does a promo in the cage before the match starts. And he gives those long, elaborate promos like, you know, I respect everybody in this wrestling business. I even respect that banana nose Ric Flair. But I've always hated you, Dusty Rhodes, because you've always been a big fat whale, right? And Dusty's in the corner just trying to hold it in, keep from laughing. He's covering his face. I mean, it's terrible.
Everybody down here in our area for years after that called him whale's tail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, Stro, you got to tell that story about Terry Funk and the chicken.
Oh, God. You guys haven't heard that one yet?
Oh, man.
No.
But this is one of the stories I was actually on hand witness, right? We're doing a pay-per-view out in San Francisco, California. And we're doing promos earlier that day to set up for the matches that night. I was getting ready to do a promo about – I was currently doing a deal with Ernest the Cat Miller. And Terry was getting ready to do a promo about his match with Ric Flair that night. And Dusty Rhodes' son, Dustin, you know, Goldust, he was like kind of like in Terry's corner, right? And Terry had this trash bag in his hand. And everybody kept asking Terry, what's in the trash bag, right? And Uncle Terry would give him all the same response. He's like, I'm saving it for the interview, right? So promo starts, camera rolling, cameraman's rolling. Terry reaches in that bag, pulls out this rank, rancid, dead chicken. Supposedly he got flown all the way from his ranch in Texas, and he was wearing his feathers and was falling off. He puts the chicken in front of the camera and says, you see this chicken? I shall now compare its anatomy to that of one Ric Flair. See these skinny legs? These are the legs of Ric Flair. See this skin? This is the skin of Ric Flair. See this beak? This is the schnoz of Ric Flair. And I'm going to take Ric Flair tonight by the neck. And he's grabbing the chickens. He's saying this, right? And I'm going to whip him like the dog that he is. He's beating the chicken on the ground, right? Feathers flying everywhere, you know? Dustin takes a bump on the ground, laughing, holding his ribs. The cameraman's shaking. I spit up my water bottle. I mean, the whole joint is like howling, laughing, right? Later on that night after the pay-per-view, you know, they put us up in a nice hotel there, San Fran, and I get down there to the parking lot and got the bellboy, you know, gets the luggage, takes in, right? Well, this bellboy was running around the parking lot with the same trash bag Terry Funk had earlier in the evening, like he was lost. So I went up and asked him. I said, hey, kid, you all right? What's wrong? You know? He's a young kid, you know? And he looks at me and says, some old man gave me this dead chicken, and I don't know what to do with it. It was scary.
That's great. Oh, Lord.
Merciful Rob, why didn't you take him up to Terry's room? Golly. Give it back to him.
Yeah, he was a city boy. He didn't know what to do with the chicken, you know?
Oh,
I don't know how he got the darn thing on a plane, honestly.
Well, I mean, it's Terry Funk. I mean, how many people are going to argue with him?
Yeah. I was going to say, a lot worse has been done on a plane with a wrestler involved, so.
Oh, gosh, don't you know it.
Oh, man, it reminds me of one of the times I flew with Jake Roberts, right? And,
oh man,
that guy, oh, my Lord. Well, our flight started off, we made a bet to see if we can get the stewardess drunk, right? And I didn't believe him. I think he didn't do it, right? But next thing you know, she's sitting down with us. She's drinking Bloody Marys, playing blackjack with us, right? This all tore her up. And I'm like, Jake, you're kidding me, right? And later on, when we landed, right, Jake had this, right before we landed, he did something where he tied the back of my hair to the airplane seat where I couldn't move my head. And did a knot, right? And I had to untie the darn knot to get off. I looked at him. He's laughing, eating a Snickers bar with a fold-out tray, right, where he had, you know, the drink and everything, right? And I'm thinking, the wheels are turning at that point. I go, okay, it's on now, right? So we landed, right? When we landed, he fell asleep. He had the drink still out the fold-out tray and the Snickers bars in the open briefcase. So I grabbed the Snickers bar and yelled, Jake, you landed, right? He wakes up, right, startled. He spills the drink all over himself, right? He looks at me. I take a bite of a Snickers bar. I darted down the aisle, right? So he's chasing me down the aisle of the plane. And he's like 6'6", right? He's pretty tall. You don't realize there's the movie projectors where you watch the movies in the plane are still protruding from the ceiling of the plane. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
he's not thinking about that when he's chasing me, and his head hits one of those projectors, and all you see is snakeskin boots flying upside down. Takes a big bump. I laughed so hard I fell to the ground. Right? He gets
funny.
Up holding his head. And says, okay, man, you got me. You got me.
That's pretty good.
Sounds like he got himself.
No doubt.
Yeah, so some of those stories are epic. I heard one time about y'all remember Dick Murdoch?
Oh yeah.
Dick, oh, Captain yeah. Redneck, yes sir.
Captain Redneck. And you know, it's a whole
half
guy. Well, they'd gone back to some hotel, right? And the Steiner yeah. brothers were wrestling in the territory at the time. And Scott Steiner, I mean, they couldn't have been in there that long, but apparently Scott Steiner, his girlfriend, they were all sitting by the pool that night. And
yeah.
the guys were splashing around in the pool. You know they do. Scott Steiner says, next person that splashes my girlfriend, you know, whatever he was going to do to him. Dick
Shit.
Murdoch just gets up, walks over there, drunk as a coot, picks up his girlfriend in the entire lounge chair and dumps her into the pool. And then just turns around and looks at Scott Steiner, and everybody said Scott Steiner didn't say a word.
If y'all haven't seen it, go to YouTube. I think they got a clip of it from the old 1970s version of The Wrestler with Dick Murdoch and Dusty Rhodes. And I think Professor Tanaka's in it, and they get into like a barroom fight in the scene there. Oh, it's great. It's tremendous.
Oh, I bet.
I think the whole movie's on YouTube right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Billy Robinson and Vern Gagne are on that movie.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I mean, look, a whole bunch of guys on there. And the early Ric Flair, too. A young Ric Flair, I think, is on there.
And he still had
Dick Murdoch was another.
And everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of those guys that, you know, wasn't the most technical wrestler in the world, and he didn't have the big, huge musculature and all that jazz. But from what I understand, he's one of those guys you just did not want to screw with behind the scenes.
You want him on
I've
your side
that.
If and mess with the fans. Definitely.
I've heard that. Another Dick Murdoch story that I'd heard was he was staying at one of the hotels one night on the road.
Yeah.
And he went back into his room and proceeded to get drunk as a skunk. Well, he couldn't get the TV. He couldn't get his TV off of the religious channel, right? And he was calling everybody he could get a hold of. Yeah, he was calling everybody, the manager, everybody he could. You know, so finally, he gets all worked up. So he puts in a call. And calls the White House. And he proceeds to tell the people at the White House that he wants to speak to the president right now, and they're asking who this is. This is Dick Murdoch, my God, you know. Did you know Secret Service? I heard Secret Service came and had a chat with him.
Oh, man.
He was a card.
You know, you're talking about wrestling psychology. I saw a match, I think, in the Knoxville Coliseum one time with Dick Murdoch and Cowboy Bob Orton Jr. And they, for 15 minutes, they had, like, the people going up and down to a top wrist lock for 15 minutes.
Wow.
It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It was incredible.
Great.
I miss those days.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, where they actually wrestled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's back when skill.
You don't see that anymore, you know?
No, you don't. And it's like somebody who comes in who's got a lot of skill in wrestling,
you know, that's not enough nowadays.
Right.
You know, nowadays you got to be like 8 foot 2, you know,
oh, yeah.
A lot of times.
It's Superman,
like,
with a cape.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you know. I mean, I'll sit there and watch some of these guys, and I'll be like, you know, there's some matches I'll see on TV, or, you know, I'll sit there and I'll look, and I'll go, man, you know, I have just spent 5 or 10 minutes of my life watching this, and I did not see one wrestling hold.
Mm.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what in the world? And then, for, and then
yeah,
well, the minute
while,
they started,
we mentioned,
and in the marquee it says wrestling.
Yeah,
we mentioned
yeah.
Les Thornton last week. I was watching a match 2 nights ago on YouTube. It was an old Madison Square Garden match, and I went on there, and usually I'm opposed to watching such, but I went on because Les Thornton was on the card, and Andre was wrestling.
Oh wow!
Gosh, King Kong Bundy. So you know,
wow.
I wanted to see this match. So Les Thornton's wrestling, he's wrestling opening match, and Les Thornton, he really could go. You know, he's a British wrestler, for people who don't know about him, but, you know, he didn't get a good push with Vince, so I don't know why, but he should have. You know, and I'm watching it, and the crowd is booing. And I don't remember who he was wrestling, but it was, you know, they were, I mean, they were hitting each other with single legs, they were sit-outs and switches, reversal after reversal. Just chain wrestling, and it was great. And, the, and there were people in the audience actually, you know, chanting boring. And this was back in, like, 1984, 85?
Yeah.
I guess. So it tells you, even then, you started getting into the whole, you know, as my coach has always said, everybody, the fans cannot always understand how to wrestle, you know, being educated on a wrestling hold or whatnot. But they can understand punching and kicking. It doesn't
right.
take any skill. Everybody knows how to punch or kick. So, you know, I think a lot of times people will say, hey, I understand that, and that's got to hurt, you know. Or, you know, even my own father, God love him, would say, oh, I saw that hold. I don't see how that would hurt. You know, I'm just sitting there going, are you kidding, Dad? You know, seriously, you really think your rotator cuff, you know, going on 180 degrees ain't going to hurt? I mean, so... You know, but it was a good match, and of course I'm watching Andre and Bundy. I mean, you're not going to see, we're just talking about technical moves, but I mean how technical do you need to be to deal with Andre? You know, how technical does Andre the Giant need to be? I guess I should say to deal with 99% of the Earth, or
right.
even Bundy. I mean, he was a big guy.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
good.
He was.
I mean, you could be a great wrestler, and here comes Andre. Now what?
At the wall.
Yeah, his size almost takes all the wrestling out of it, you know, because how would you go about grappling a guy that size in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's not tall, but he's solid. I swear to goodness, he's like a bus. I was backstage one time at a Legend show, and all of a sudden I felt like a bus was backing me up against the wall. I turned around. And I'll be darned if it wasn't Greg Valentine was kind of backing up, walking backwards. Greg Valentine's a solid guy, man.
Oh yeah. And he never changes. He's always the same.
No.
He's been on great matches when you see him.
I don't know if you ever watch any of the Sheik, the Iron Sheik stuff. Of course, the Iron Sheik,
oh,
he's kind of on his own page these days. He did.
He's hilarious,
yeah, he's something else. He did some type of interview where he got on this story about him and Greg Valentine driving a car, and they had Moolah in the back seat, and Greg Valentine started smoking weed. And I'm here to tell you, I mean, hearing the Sheik tell it is already funny enough. Because, I mean, the Sheik's being himself. He's not trying to be funny. He's being who he is, you know. And somebody a few years back took all of the Sheik's interviews and put them on a cartoon called Little Sheik.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on YouTube. And they speed up his voice. And I'm telling you, it is – when he's on there talking about Hulk Hogan, he's, you know –
Hulk Hogan, yes, no good. You call me. You say, Sheiky baby, I love you. I call you. You should never call me Sheik.
The Greg Valentine story, because they said Moolah's in the back seat just raising Kane the whole time. He's up smoking weed and driving. But, I mean, hearing the Sheik talking, I mean, the Sheik is like this moral authority all of a sudden talking about it.
Yeah. Right.
I was tagging with Valentine against, the Doinks, the clowns, you know, and
Right during the match.
It's like when I tagged into Greg, right, sometime in the match. He tells me the most god-awful joke about Doink. he's like giggling, you know. You want to know something funny? And like, yeah, sure, lay it on me, right? And it's like, you know, Doink is really dink, right? I'm like, how so, Greg? Because at night, Doink pulls Dink out of his rear end. Look at all that thing, bro. I was like, no good in the wrestling match. I was like, laughing the whole time.
That's funny.
We're talking about Greg Valentine, you know, I remember mentioning last week about Johnny Valentine, his dad, and how tough he was. And Johnny wasn't exactly a technical Mac guy, but he absolutely would fight King Kong in an alley with the devil on King Kong's side. I'll tell you, we're talking about ribs, and I'll tell you, Billy Wicks told me, I can only tell about 80% of this story because I'm pretty sure the podcast would never be illegally allowed on again. But
we run a family oriented deal here, so you're right.
Okay, well, so they're in Texas. And I want to say it was in Dallas, and Billy Wicks was there, and I want to say Danny Hodge, and
Danny Hodge, oh my.
Johnny Valentine, and Red Bastien.
Oh wow,
Red Bastien and Billy had wrestled on the carnival together for Henry Tolan. You're going way back now, you know, but they were there, and Johnny Valentine, and I don't remember the other wrestlers with him. They love to prank new guys; they really ribble. And one of the ribs was is that they would show up at their door naked in the hotel room and tell them they're going to take advantage of them. There's nothing they can do, kind of like welcome to prison. Well,
hello.
Red and Billy have been friends for a long time, and he told Billy about it. He said, you know, let's get them instead. Let's turn the card. So he said, Billy, you sneak out the fire escape and go up there and go through their window when they come out and lock their door. So Billy locks Johnny Valentine's hotel room door. Johnny Valentine and this other wrestler, they come out, and all they got on was a towel around their waist to come down the hall of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy and Red Bastien are sitting back in the hotel room, and I want to say Ed Lewis might have been there too, but they're knocking on the door, and Red opens the door real quick, and him and Billy snatch the towels away from Johnny Valentine and who was with him. His name escapes me, and they slam the door and lock it, leaving Greg Valentine running all over a pretty nice hotel in Dallas. You know, this is not the Holiday. You know, this is a pretty upscale hotel. Running around the hallway naked, completely nude, him and the other guy. And they can't get back to their room. The door's locked. And they ultimately had to, I think, go down front. There's not much more to it. But there's a few other things that, you know, adjectives and stuff I'll leave out of it that, you know, but that's a story I think I'll always remember.
All right. And how do you explain that to the guy at the front desk? You can't do it.
You know, how many of these hotels that wrestlers stayed at over the years did these clerks working at the front desk or whatnot just leave scarred? You know, just scarred over the stuff they saw.
Easy. But you know what? Those are stories you can hold on to forever. You know, I mean, it's one of those things when something like that happens. I mean, we was in Myrtle Beach 2 years ago, and and met Ric Flair down there, and I've met Ric Flair several times in my life, and every time he's always been a class
great
guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So, you know, we're talking and everything, and I had some old wrestling magazines when I was a kid. I think I might have told you guys, and we're flipping through, you know, the magazines. We're talking wrestling history. He introduces me to his girlfriend and everything, and, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, I'm going, God, here I am standing in front of Ric Flair, talking wrestling history, flipping through old wrestling magazines I've had since I was a kid. So we go to take a picture, and my wife won't get in to the picture. And you guys know, met my wife. I've got an attractive wife. I don't say so myself. So she says, no, no, I'm not getting in the picture. Ric pulls his chair out, and he goes, oh, no, sweetheart. You come sit down next to the nature boy. I says, Ric, is my wife a woo? And he goes, oh, she's a woo, woo. Next thing you know, I'm on the phone going, Ric Flair just hit on my wife. Best day ever. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
what do you do at that point?
Yeah,
well,
I mean, you know, you can't help but, you know, get into it, you know.
Flair is such a great guy. And you know, you see him out somewhere, the guy's never met a stranger.
No.
And if you run into if you run into Ric Flair at a bar somewhere, well, as a matter of fact, the first kamikaze I ever had was bought by Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Kamikaze.
Because if you were going to drink with Flair, you were going to drink kamikazes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember the time he kicked Nasty Boy Knobs off the dance floor. They had a dance-off, and Knob was, like, killing it, right? And Rick was like, get out of here. Let the nature boy show it done. And they started playing Wild Wild West, you know, the 80s version. Oh, my God, it was hysterical. And Rick dances on the dance floor. You can't dance like a normal person because he's like the nature boy 24-7. I mean, he's the nature boy on the dance floor, too. So he's tearing it up.
And I've never seen somebody get in there and do an interview and have an entire match with himself, and it turns out to be a 5-star match.
And I tell you who was real good with Ric in the ring was Gene Okerlund. Gene Okerlund played, God, he was awesome. When he just had that way of leading Flair into something. And the only other guy that I could think of that was that good with Flair was Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan God, I mean, when they did that whole it's fair to Flair thing back in the early 90s, I mean, Bobby Heenan.
He was champion, yeah.
God. And, you know, and then
Bobby
he was
Heenan,
getting
Bobby
it on
Heenan.
With Elizabeth and all that stuff with Randy Savage. Some of the interviews they did in the promo.
He made me turn in. That's how great Bobby Heenan was.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, one night.
And Jim Cornette are the two, I think, the greatest mic managers probably ever in my lifetime to watch. And you got to understand, it was blasphemy for me to watch the World Wrestling Federation as growing up, you know? And I would tune Bobby Heenan. Just for Bobby Heenan.
You know, one night we're all sitting there having dinner one night after a Nitro, and you know, Gene Okerlund and Bobby and Ric and Arn, and we're having dinner, and this waiter comes up, right? He starts talking. Next thing you know, Ric stands up and says, "All right, it's you and me, kid, right now for the title. Ring the bell, Arn." He elbows Arn, right? So they have a match right in the middle of the restaurant between Ric and the waiter, right? And then Gene and Bobby. They're like doing commentary and Arn's refereeing.
Oh my God.
And Rick's like teaching this waiter how to wrestle. And next thing you know, he takes out the belt, gives it to the waiter. And Arn's like shaking his head. And Gino, man, it's the greatest thing ever. Oh my God. That was too much.
But that was a career for that waiter, to be sure, you know.
He didn't know what to do.
Absolutely.
He was like shell shocked. They're like, my God, did this happen? You know, like he won the World Series.
You know,
Heenan that night.
Heenan used to have some of the greatest one-liners when he would get on there and do the commentary. And I remember Coco Beware. As a matter of fact, Coco Beware, incidentally, is also in the Hall of Fame, just to drive home my point. Not taking anything away from him, but nevertheless, driving home my Ivan Koloff point. Well, Coco Beware was fighting, and Gorilla Monsoon says, and Coco's mom is in the audience, in attendance. It was very nice to meet her. And Bobby Heenan says, yeah, it was really nice to meet Tupper. And unless you were Tupperware, you know? Or when he said that Tito Santana was related to Reba McEntire, and Gene Oakland says, how's that, you know, Reba McEntire? I mean,
you remember when he had a hard time pronouncing the Tonka? And so that's not
too. Oh yeah. Heenan was just
some
epic.
Some of the genius things I remember, because a lot, like John says, you know, being down here in South Kakalaki, a lot of times it was blasphemous, you know, to turn into WWE when we had Crockett, you know, the Crockett days.
Right, yeah.
And I remember sitting there, and when Jim Cornette hit the scene, it was just like a totally different ball game, because he'd go over there and he would interrupt David Crockett and Tony Schiavone, and he would just go over there, and while the Midnight Express were wrestling the Mulkey brothers, Randy and Bill Mulkey, that was some of the funniest one-liners
with Mulkey
I've ever heard. Mulkey Mania running wild.
When did the bit? Have you seen the bit where the original Midnight Express jumped the Midnight Express down on Georgia Wrestling TV? One that's on the phone talking to Paul Heyman, right? Well, Paulie Dangerously at the time. And he's talking to Dunk to Tony, and then when the Midnight Express, I don't know why this is like the funniest part ever. When the original Midnight came in and jumped Bobby and Stan, right? Condry and Rose, you know? You could hear Jim Cornette scream and go, Jesus Christ! I just lost it. Oh my God, I just lost my dinner. It was so funny.
It was Cornette used to come out with that tennis racket, if I remember
right.
Yeah.
Oh man.
My wife hates wrestling, and she likes Jim Cornette. I mean, I think Jim Cornette, he can draw heat at the North Pole. I mean,
oh easy.
I mean, what was he said to you, Brett, when you met him?
Well, what was it?
What was it about you ditching your girlfriend to meet him?
It's
not PG.
Nah.
It's corny we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's rich.
I know. I was sitting there talking to him up in Tennessee, and we're sitting there talking, and there were some people in the background. And him and I were talking about junior wrestling. And off in the background, you could hear all this construction going on and people dropping. All of a sudden, somebody dropped, you know, they were doing all this construction and dropping. They dropped a whole ton of metal. And you know how metal sounds on concrete floor, you know, reverberating all over the place. Jim Cornette, Jesus Christ. And I looked at him, I told him, Jim, I said, don't worry, man. I think it's Vince Russo trying to tunnel in. And he just looks at me for a second with these with those Cornette eyes, and then just starts dying, falling, laughing.
God, Vince Russo. Now there's a guy who just, oh geez, you want to talk about a kidney stone to the professionals to professional wrestling? I mean, I wouldn't call him a cancer.
To the jewel.
Yeah, he wasn't a cancer to wrestling. He was more like a like loose stools. God, that guy just turned everything upside down. And if I remember correctly, he even wrote himself in as being world champion one time, if I remember right.
Oh, gosh. I remember that time he tried to clear with a plaster Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And the darn thing broke before it hit Rick in the head. And he was just like shaking his head going, what the hell?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though. I wouldn't call it that's Russo cancer because some people actually survive cancer. And,
yeah,
you know,
I hear you.
Did you say that? Did you really say that, Greg Bo?
Yeah, that's bad.
You said
oh, my goodness.
That's bad.
You didn't have a pass for that
I'm
one.
Sure everybody will forgive me.
Yeah, you
I don't really
one.
Care what Miss Rosa knows. I don't like him. You know what I mean? Is it one of those guys, why do you have writers in wrestling? Why would you have a writer in wrestling? It just doesn't make sense to me.
But I was
you know,
saying
maybe
he wore a football outfit, right? He wore a football outfit in the cage. Bill Goldberg, right? Had pads on, helmet and everything, and still walked out with a concussion. Go figure.
Hey, Stro.
Did y'all ever hear? Go ahead.
Stro, were you at WCW when the Freebirds were having their feud with Midnight Express?
Yeah, off and on, yeah.
We're speaking of Cornette, and I just can't. I got to say this is one of the funniest things I ever heard him say, and I won't get it right. And I should probably go in and lash myself 10 times for missing it. But Jim Cornette, so the Freebirds, or Midnight Express, you know, they've gone base and they're feuding with the Freebirds. And I think Terry Gordy comes up, who obviously is a big intimidating joker, gets up, you know, in Cornette's face. And, you know, and this is why beating up Cornette does you no good, because as long as he can talk, he will win. And
yeah.
Cornette gets the microphone. And there's going to be a six man, and it's the Midnight Express with Dr. Death C. Williams versus the Freebirds. Well, Jim Cornette gets the microphone, looks at Terry Gordy and says, I'm not a fighter, but these three men can fight. In fact, they'll kick your butt so hard your breath will come out smelling like Kiwi boot polish.
And ironically, how long after that did Steve Williams and Terry Gordy end up teaming, being like one of the best teams ever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What a team those guys
were.
Wow. And I remember they
really well together.
Took the Steiners down one time. Remember that? When Bill Watts brought them in to calm the Steiners down because Steiners was like running roughshod over all the tag teams.
Yeah.
He brought in Doc and Gordy from Japan. And man, what series of matches those guys had.
Bill, I was always a big Gordy fan.
Yeah, I love Gordy. I watched back when ECW was running, they brought Gordy in, and, man, you could tell something was totally off, you know. I felt so bad for him over there. It was like, you know, it's hard for him to move. I'd grown up seeing so many of his matches. It was sad.
I'm going to jump right in when we had just a moment of silence. I know I promised we had some call-in people last week. We didn't give them a chance to talk. Who do we have from area code 804?
Hey, it's me, Steven.
Hey, Steven. You've got the greatest panel of wrestling knowledge in the world. Ask a question or talk to them about something.
Last week you were talking about cat wrestling. I really like Minoru Suzuki. He's one of my favorite cat wrestlers. Won't bring that up. I was listening in. I don't really have much to ask about. The Jim Cornette. Jesus Christ. I bet you that was funny to see Cornette like yell in person.
Oh yeah. It's a thing. You can't unsee.
And
you can't
unsee it. Steven, you brought up Minoru Suzuki. And,
yeah.
And 90%, probably 99% of people on this planet wouldn't know who you're talking about. And I've got friends who've wrestled with him over in Japan and trained with him. And yeah, I'll tell you what, they don't come any tougher than Suzuki. They do not come any tougher than Suzuki.
No doubt.
Yeah, I've watched his matches. He had a match with Okada not too long ago. Pretty good. New Japan.
Yeah, from what I understand, he still works for New Japan. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Davey Boy Jr. is one of his guys.
Okay.
That's too cool.
Well, look, thank you, sir. Do we have Dustin Justin on the line?
Justin.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, Justin.
You got a comment or question for this massive panel?
Yes, I do. For Papa Stro. Hey, Stro.
Hey, Justin. How you doing?
Hey, how are you? I was gonna comment about what happened yesterday. I'm sorry about yesterday. I had to leave early from your show. I apologize for that.
Oh, it's quite all right. It's always a pleasure having you.
Oh, always, thank you. And I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who was your favorite opponent in WCW, and who was your rival in WCW, and why?
Oh God, you know, that'd be hard to pick just one, because at the time,
mm-hmm.
WCW was rocking and rolling. I mean, they were on top
mm-hmm.
of the freaking world. You know, one night I can be in there Rey Mysterio, and next night do something with, Terry, Flair, Piper, Savage, or even Hogan, to that matter, which I hope, you know, people could say, you know, people have various opinions about Hulk Hogan, but, man, being in the ring with him was a dream. And, it was such a great experience being with arguably at one time the best guys and gals from all over the world there one time in WCW. So, I really couldn't pick just
mm-hmm.
one. I mean, just so many great matches. You know, wrestling guys from all over the world each and every night doing your thing. But, like, veterans
yeah.
and the best of the best, like the luchadors, the Japanese, the European catch-as-catch-can. I mean, it was an awesome experience. And then learning from, you know, training even between them with, you know, my European friends, you know, William Regal, Doc Dean, Robbie Brookside, Dave Taylor, Fit Finlay, you know, I mean those guys were just amazing.
Fit Finlay was crazy, man. He was great.
Mm-hmm. And the matches Finlay and Regal had were some of the best matches, solid,
yeah.
believable matches
yeah.
I've seen a
yeah,
long
I love,
time.
Yeah, I love those matches.
You know, Regal, though, he had the greatest ring entrance. Whenever I knew he was fighting, when he was doing the Lord Steven Regal, and they'd shoot the pyrotechnics off and the smoke, and he's waving his hand in front of his face, you know, like the smoke's too much. I mean,
it's just bothering him. It's just bothering
him. Yeah, everybody else comes
way.
Out of
like,
there, you know.
One of my favorite tag teams, and they never really, you know, I mean, they should have been, they were open. So underrated. They should have been have their own place in history. Basically, it's the Blue Bloods when William Regal and Bobby
Eaton
started teaming together.
Bobby Eaton
and
yep.
their vignettes was like priceless. If you've seen any of their vignettes, amazing.
Bobby,
now Stro, you keep up with Bobby Eaton at all? Is he doing all right?
Yeah, as far as I know, he's hanging in. You know what I mean? That's doing a lot better than he was.
That's good.
He's a great, yeah, Bobby's a great guy. Nice.
All right, I want to get around to all of our panel and give you just a few minutes to plug what you got going on, what's coming up with you. I'm going to start with John Strickland. What you got going on in the very near future that you want to tell everybody about?
Well, I guess with Academy on the back here, I'm working on a little project with friends of mine over in England, over in Wigan. It's a small coal mining area outside of Manchester. The guys at the Snake Pit put together maybe a catch-as-catch-can seminar and possibly tournament. We're working on – we got another tournament coming up in May, and I got a couple of guys I'm getting ready for some MMA fights coming up as well.
Cool.
Wow, that sounds great. So you'll be going over to Wigan?
We don't know if it's – I think it's going to be me go over there, then maybe bring them over here. They've been on me for a while to come over there. I was supposed to go over there two years ago, and my dad got deathly sick. So I ended up having to cancel the trip. And then I was getting ready to reschedule. there's my wife hates wrestling, but she has a rule: if it goes, if the jet goes to a cool place, she has to go too. So, I think we're trying to get that scheduled out now. Probably we'll go over there late summer, early fall. Of course, I've been told that the weather there is horrible whenever you go. So,
it doesn't matter. It's England, and you're going to one of my favorite towns because that was the home of Northern Soul, the Wigan Casino that burnt down, and there's so much over there.
Yeah,
I really want to catch that. And then Greg Bo Watson.
Say what?
What'd you say? Did you have something to finish with, John?
I was just going to say, yeah, there's a lot of history over there. I've always made the joke that when I die, to cremate me and sprinkle my ashes in Wigan, because it was the birthplace of basically modern wrestling.
Yeah.
Wow. We got to hear more about that. I tell you what, dude. All right, Greg Bo, what do you got going on in the near future?
Well, I'm doing some Zenoscope covers that are coming up here soon.
Yep.
Also, I think I'm working on a Zombie Tramp cover for Action Labs, and then there's a big Horrorcon, and the name escapes me, and it's out on the West Coast, and I'm doing two prints for it. One is Elvira, and yeah, Mistress of the Dark. You can't hate that. And then Freddy Krueger print from Nightmare on Elm Street. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Greg Will, I want to ask you a question. I know George Chastain, the great B movie poster artist. I'm going to call George and see if he would do an episode of Comic Con Stars with you and me and one or two other of our friends. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah, you know me. I'm all in, brother.
All right. Well, that sounds good. I'll let you know.
It's like I tell everybody, John. It's easy to get me talking. It's harder to get me to stop.
That's okay.
We'll
keep talking forever. All right, Brett, what have you got going on?
Well, what I have going on is every Saturday I'm up at APW in Spartanburg.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling, always something new, always something exciting.
So this Saturday, the next Saturday, and the next Saturday, forever, as long as you can, right?
As long as I'm able to, I'll be up in the ring.
All right, and I got to say this. You are an exceptional person because the first casket match was with Ivan Koloff and Dusty Rhodes, and the last one that we've got record of is you. So you come at the end of a long line of casket matches. I've got that up on the website. There's a link to it, so that's one great reason to celebrate you other than you're a fine wrestler. And they're telling me we've got 90 seconds left. Papa Stro, what you got coming up soon?
In the Room next week on VOCNation.com, next Tuesday, WCW Retro, next Wednesday, of course, Comic-Con Stars, Thursday, and Saturday, back in New Jersey for UBWA Pro Wrestling.
Gotcha. Now, that Saturday, you'll be in New Jersey. I will be at the South Carolina Comic-Con in Greenville. Greg Bo, will you be there?
No, I'm not doing SC Comic-Con, but you will be in my backyard.
Okay, all right, maybe we can talk. Dave, take a few seconds, and then we'll head out of here.
Hey, nothing big, just getting geared up for con season coming up this spring and just wishing everybody a wonderful and safe St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day is on a Friday, so anybody celebrating, please watch what you're doing. Toss the keys on the counter, walk home, crawl home, do whatever you got to do, but watch what you're doing. Y'all be careful.
Amen.
I want to have you listen. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. I want to say thanks to all the people that are listening to Comic-Con Stars. The dream team has been here. I will be getting them back again soon. So this is Dr. John, Obstro Maestro, Dave Atwell, and our guests. Thank you. Next week. Cheers.
God bless you all. Good night, everybody.